speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We talk about the Bible because it's the most important book in all the world. Jesus said in John 5:39 and 40, "Ye search the Scriptures, because in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that bear witness of me, but ye will not come to me that ye may have life." We are to search the Scriptures, and Jesus said these people did, and that they were looking for Him who was the Messiah. But realizing that they didn't find Him simply because they wouldn't come to Him when He was revealed. In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Searching the Scriptures is certainly a great, important thing for us to do. Many people realize the Bible is somewhat of a big book, and so they don't realize the importance of searching the Scriptures. Well, they don't realize that therein is revealed, it seems, the truth. You know, Jesus said in John 8:31-32, to those Jews that believed upon Him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17:17, He said, "Sanctify or set them apart by thy truth, thy word is truth." Well, what is Bible truth? Can we know Bible truth? Is it important that we know Bible truth? I believe it is, my friends. The answers to all of these questions about Bible truth are contained within God's Word. And do you know God has given us this book that is absolute? Indeed, some have the idea that the Bible truth is relative. However they want to change it in their day, sometimes they talk about culture. That is, it seems the truth to one person is not necessarily always the truth to another in their thinking. But this philosophy says that you can basically do, teach, and practice whatever you desire, and that God will accept it, since there is, according to them, no absolute truth. Now, if Bible truth is relative, one thing to you, something else to me, then there can be no false belief, can there? There can be no false teaching or practice. But if Bible truth is relative, why did Jesus say, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves," Matthew 7:15? And how can we try the spirits, my friends? John said in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world." If truth is relative, how can we all speak the same thing, be of the same mind and of the same judgment, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10? You know, my friends, truth is relative, all right, if it's relative in the minds of men, but it is not relative in the things that God has given us. These verses cannot be obeyed. Without believing and understanding the Bible truth is not relative, it is rather absolute. The Bible truth also is attainable. You know, so many people think they can't attain to know the truth. Can we know the truth? Well, we just noticed in John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Yes, you can know the truth. And not only can we know it, we must know it in order to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. And if we cannot know the truth, why are we told to study? 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Why are we told to search the Scriptures in John 5:39 and Acts 17:11? Why are we told to meditate upon these Scriptures, Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2? Yes, my friends, Bible truth can be known, and that is, meaning that it is attainable. Bible truth is also all-important. When Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8:32, it is by knowing and obeying the truth that we're made free from our sins, aren't we? Romans 6:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But the truth is able to turn us back to the things of God and to bring us into covenant relationship with God. You know, we will keep ourselves from the vengeance of the Lord in the last great day if we will know and obey the truth, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. And if we want to prepare ourselves for a home in heaven, there is no other way except to know and obey the truth. Jesus said, "You recall, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven," Matthew 7:21. Is Bible truth important? Oh, my friend, Bible truth is all important, isn't it? And then again, Bible truth is authoritative. How can we know what is right and what's wrong? What is truth and what is error? Well, the answer is not found in the politicians of our day. It's not found in many preachers of our day. It's not in popularity, power, position, or pleasing ourselves or pleasing others. But what is right and what is wrong is found only in the Bible. We must have Bible authority for all we believe, all that we teach, and all that we practice. Why is that so important? Well, listen to the words of Paul in Colossians 3:17. The inspired apostle said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Now, Bible truth is authoritative, isn't it? And that's the only way we can know how to hold fast that which is good, how we can know to do all in the name of the Lord or by His authority. Bible truth also must be accepted by all men in order for it to be beneficial to them. It's not enough just to know Bible truth is absolute and attainable and all-important and authoritative. Truth must be accepted and obeyed from the heart. Do you remember Paul's words to the Roman brethren in Romans 6:16? He said, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Well, where are certain things found in the Bible? You know, we have a wonderful class on Sunday afternoon for our kids. The kids at the East End Church of Christ, they study these things about the Bible and where they can be found. For instance, my friend, if someone asks you about the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, which we are not under today, but they are important for our learning and for our understanding, according to Romans 15:4, where would you tell people to look in their Bible for that? If you search the Scriptures, you would say, that's in Exodus 20, and also again in Deuteronomy 5. But you know, if you didn't search the Scriptures, you wouldn't know where to find the Ten Commandments. Could you find, my friends, the Sermon on the Mount? You realize that Jesus did preach the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. In fact, the greatest, I suppose, by any man upon the earth. Where would you find that if you were looking for it in your New Testament? Are you searching the Scriptures daily? If you are, then you know that the Sermon on the Mount is found in chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Now, isn't it wonderful to have those things before us? If you were going to tell somebody about the Beatitudes, you know how important they are. And indeed, for happiness and being blessed in this life, there's just no substitute for finding the kingdom of heaven and following those Beatitudes that give us that kingdom. But could you tell a person where to find them? Would you refer them to Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12 for the Beatitudes? If you would, you certainly would be correct. What about the prayer that the Lord taught His disciples how to pray with? Now, this was not the Lord's Prayer, though many people say it was. This was simply the manner that Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray with. Well, where would you find that? Well, let's say Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know where to locate that model prayer which the Lord gave to His disciples? And if you were searching the Scriptures, where would you find Paul talking about love? Well, you probably would say it readily. The love chapter is 1 Corinthians 13, and you would be correct. I hope, my friends, that you know how to identify these chapters and that you know how to use your Bible. Where would you find the birth of Christ? Would you look to the book of Luke and find in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20, the birth of our Lord? Where would you search to find the temptation of Jesus when Satan tempted Him? Well, you would say Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. You see, this comes by people searching the Scriptures. Could you show someone the crucifixion of Christ? Where do you find the crucifixion of Christ in the New Testament? Could you refer a man to Luke 23, verses 33 through 48, for the crucifixion of Christ? You could if you'd been searching the Scriptures. And then you'd certainly know about the resurrection of Christ. Or could you prove this to anyone? Would you refer them to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20, to show them the scene of the crucifixion of Christ, and also Mark 16, verses 1 through 20? It would certainly be correct for you to say that, and wouldn't it be wonderful for you to be able to find in your Bible the resurrection of the scene of Christ? And then how about the ascension of our Lord? Could you turn someone to Acts 1, verses 6 through 11, to find indeed the ascension of Christ? What a wonderful pleasure it is to have the Bible. But you know, just having it's not enough. It's not enough to know that it's absolute. It's not enough to know that it's attainable, unless we attain it. It's not enough to know that it's all important and authoritative. We're going to have to spend some time with the Word of God, aren't we? So that we'll know where we can find these things, and whether they are right or whether they're wrong. Those brethren at Thessalonica, they said that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica at Berea, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I'm hopeful, my friends, that you're one who will search the Scriptures, learn what is right, and desire to do it, and to walk in the will of the Lord. If you hear His Word, and you believe it with all of your heart, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ, and be buried with your Lord in baptism as the Bible commands when you search the Scriptures, you'll find that to be true. Then you can be a Christian. You can be a simple New Testament Christian, not belonging to any denominational body, just a simple member of the Church of Christ.